Nedarim, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin, 7-7. This Mishnah is really very similar to the previous. Ha'omer le'ishto, if one says to his wife, Konam ma'ase yadayich alai, that which you produce with your hands, translated literally, is forbidden to me, as if it were a korban, meaning the work she does in the house, you know, meaning if she mills flour, bakes a cake, spins some yarn, whatever the story is, he's saying that's going to be forbidden to him. Similarly, if he says, O konam hen al pi, or he says, konon hen lifi, like before in the previous Mishnah, he's not explicitly saying he's not going to eat them. He says in general they're forbidden to him. And this is, to his mouth is just a turn of phrase, but it means any benefit. If he didn't mean any benefit, he meant specifically eating, he would have said eating it or tasting it. And therefore, whatever she produces are asur, are forbidden to him, and even bechilufein, even what he exchanges for them are also forbidden. So if she, bakes a cake and he trades the cake to get himself a football, so then the football is also forbidden to him because he traded it for the cake. Since, as I said before in the previous Mishnah, since he's not allowed to trade the cake in the first place because it's an Isser d'Oraisa, the rabbis punished him and said you can't even have benefit from what you traded for the football, even though it's only Usser. So that's Usser Madura Bana. Now, worth pointing out, though, that the benefit he can't get is just on her input, the labor that goes into manufacturing the cake. But since presumably he's the one who paid for the flour and the sugar and the eggs that went into the cake, so what we're talking about here is the benefit from her input. So for argument's sake, if the cake cost, 10 shekels worth of, the 10 shekels worth of ingredients, let's say, and he gets 25 shekels worth of value, he trades the cake for a 25 shekel football. So really, he is allowed to get 10 shekels of benefit because he paid for the 10 shekels, just not the 15 that she put in of labor. So that had to be worked out, however it's worked out. Okay. Similarly, ubigdulehen, it's also forbidden for him to get benefit from that which grows from her work. You know, she plants a tree, for argument's sake, so he can't get benefit from the tree that grows from her work because she's the one who was doing the gardening in the backyard, and it's her labor. However, if he says, instead of saying a general prohibition against getting benefit from her handiwork, her labors, he says something like, konam ma'asa yadayich, she'eni ochel. I'm not going to eat that which you make, because it's like korban to me, so then it's just about eating. Or if he says, konam ma'asa yadayich, she'eni toem. I'm not going to taste it. So then the restrictions that he has on place are just eating or tasting what she, cooks and bakes, etc., but not getting general benefit, and therefore mutter bechilufein ubigdulehen. If she bakes a cake, he can't eat the cake, but he could trade the cake for the football and get benefit from the football, no problem. Or if she plants a tree, so then once the tree grows, he can get benefit from the tree that grew because her inputs are gone. She put a seed in the ground, but now the seed has wasted away. And the Mishnah therefore qualifies like it did in the previous Mishnah. But davar shazara kala. Of course, that assumes that the thing that she plant in the ground, like the seed for that, the tree is now, dissolved in the ground, is gone. Aval, bedavar she'ein zaro kala, if what she planted was a bed of onions, and therefore the onions that she put in the ground are really still there. Afilo gedule gedulin, asurin, even a second or third generation onion that came from the original onion that was planted, since some vestige of the original onion she planted is still present, he's getting benefit from that, hasn't totally gone away, and therefore that would all be forbidden to him.